وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: النكاح من سنتي. قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. We have a nikah today, one of our students, mashallah, and we will be performing the nikah just after 12:30, inshallah. So with regard to nikah, which is also a very great ibadat, ulama have written, zakat also is a great ibadat. We all take it as an ibadat. But a very interesting point with regard to zakat, and the same applies to all Allah's ibadat, nikah also. With regard to zakat, Allah Ta'ala commands Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ, take from their wealth. That is the amount of zakat you must take from them. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً, the first thing, to تُطَهِّرُهُمْ بِهَا. That sadaqah will purify them. Your akhlaq will take place, it will be corrected. Your islah will take place. Your reformation will take place. That is the first object of zakat. We take it normally that zakat is must go to the poor. That is in its place. But that is secondary. Primarily, zakat is to that a person's his akhlaq gets reformed. His islah is made. So that is the primary. So much so, ulama have written that if there are no poor people you can give your zakat to, then zakat's command doesn't fall away. Zakat is not real, it's secondary for the poor. Primarily it is to purify you. And it is an understood fact that by and large people love their money. People don't want to part their money. In fact, on that, a person earns money for what? He says to live peacefully. Now when he has got money, and for example he's going to fly somewhere, he's got money, he can fly by business class, he can fly by first class, and he'll be in comfort. He made money to live in comfort. Now he doesn't want to spend money for first class. He says, ordinary class? Economy. I'll go by economy. Now why did you earn then? You want to hoard the money? That's why you're earning money? Or you want your peace? We mustn't waste money also. But you're doing it for your comfort. So you must use your comfort where the money is for that purpose. Allah give us understanding really what Allah has given us is to live a nice life in this world. Not waste, not squander, not luxury, but to live comfortably. So anyway, nikah also is an ibadah. The same way with qurbani. Qurbani is not the eating of the meat. That is not the object at all. It is just to slaughter. And it wasn't long till in Saudi, Hajj, in Mina, that all the animals used to be just buried. It's afterwards, now they are canning it and they're going to distribute it to other countries, to the poor. But before it was just being buried. So that is, the object is to make the qurbani, not to eat the meat. Allah has permitted, eat, mashallah, barakat in that meat, Lord goodness. But the object is just to please Allah. The same way nikah also is an ibadat. If we take it like that, there will be great, great goodness for us. So in this ayat kareema, Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala says, and which is the real prescription and the real solution to having a peaceful life without any doubt. Married life is meant to be a life of jannat in this world. Married life is not 1 week honeymoon and then afterwards fighting like two monkeys with one another whole life. No, Islamic nikah is your whole life you live, and you live with great enjoyment and peace. And for that, we'll have to follow the command of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Those who know Arabic, mashallah, so many ulama. First Allah said, وَلَهُنَّ, the rights of the woman, Allah mentioned first. The woman has got rights. So from there, ulama have written, because why? The woman generally can't fight for her rights. She's weaker. The man takes advantage of her. Allah save us all. He fights with her. He abuses her. He hits her. And she, what can she do? She only turns to Allah. She cries. If her parents have passed away, who can she go to? She finds very hard to go to her brothers, to her sisters. And many, many women don't want to go to their parents also. They say, we'll make sabar. We won't tell our parents also. So, now who is there? Allah says, I'm there for them. Now imagine who is fighting the case for the woman. It's not some big QC lawyer, Allah himself. And Allah is making sifarish, intercession on their behalf. And if somebody comes to you, they say, this person, you fired him. If you could reconsider again, and it's some person of big status, you listen to that person. Now Allah is making sifarish, interceding for the woman. Walahunna, the first their rights, they have got rights. Mithlu alladhi alayhinna, similar to the rights which are on them. And if we notice in the ayat, clearly Allah hasn't mentioned the rights of the man. It is, 100% it is there. Mithlu alladhi alayhinna. But Allah here also said, the women have got rights first. Similar to the rights which are over them. The rights over them are the husband's rights. He also has got rights. Both have got rights. So both must be considered. Not only the wife, not only the husband. Both must be considered. But Allah hasn't said in clear terms the man also got rights. But for the woman, the first Allah mentioned them, that they have got rights. And here also we all should think, one person in Karachi very many years ago, his daughter got married. Husband was troubling her. So he came to Imam Sahib of the masjid. He was his friend also. He said, give me some taweez that my son-in-law, he mustn't trouble my wife, fight with her, ill-treat her, etc. So he was his friend from before. So he says, excuse me, but I know you from before. How were you treating your wife? Your whole life, how were you treating her? Wasn't she also somebody's daughter? Now when your daughter is being treated, now you feel it. That peace of my heart, what's happening to her? How is she being ill-treated? But your wife is also somebody's daughter. And how you treated her? Then he realized that how much wrong I had done. So we do all the wrong ourselves to our wives. When our daughter's time comes, then we realize. And many of us, we fight for our... But we won't think. In fact, how many cases? The daughter-in-law being ill-treated. And then she's called the in-laws. After they heard all the case, the mother-in-law told, what you're going through is nothing. What I went through by your father-in-law, it is nothing what you're going through. So we also all, not only who's getting married, we all must consider how we treat our wives. And the treatment of the wives is good treatment is one of the greatest ibadat. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person whole life makes ibadat whole night. Whole life, whole night ibadat. Every day he keeps roza. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, mustn't I show you somebody who is more pious, more beloved by Allah than that person also? Sahaba said, please tell us. This the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person who has got a hilam. A person who is soft-natured, kind. He absorbs everything. He doesn't trouble anyone. And whoever troubles him, he doesn't take no revenge. No baddua, nothing. He just absorbs it all. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, mustn't I show you somebody who is even more pious than him? And this Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't even show the reward, which means the reward is very great. Sahaba said, tell us. He said, that person who is soft-natured and kind to his wife. To be generally soft, kind, and that virtue is more than whole night's ibadat, whole life. Every day's roza, whole life. That ibadat. But to be to your wife kind and soft is even much more greater. So Allah give us tawfiq. So Allah says, وَلَهُنَّ, they have got rights. مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنْ, similar to the rights which are on them. The husband has also got rights. To understand it very easy, we have a vehicle, a car. It's got wheels on the right side, on the left side. So the left, right side wheels must also work properly. The right side also. If you've got a puncture in one wheel, your car is not going to move. Or both sides. And if you take the wheels of the right side and you put them on the left side. Or you take the wheels of the left side and you put them on the right side. That car is not going to move. It's going to collapse on the one side. So the husband is on the one side, he's got his rights. Wife has got on the other side, she's got. And both of them function properly. They're not punctured. They do their work, what they fulfilling one another's rights, everything properly. That vehicle is going to move very nicely, without a problem, smooth sailing. But if one of the sides there is a problem, now you're going to have problem. Wheel alignment is out now. Now your car is pulling on one side. Your tires are getting worn out unevenly. And it's a danger. You're on a danger on the road. Because the car is just pulling one side. To control that car is difficult. But both wheels are right. To control that car also is easy. And it's smooth sailing. You're having a nice drive. So the woman's rights, she must fulfill her right. And basically, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, when his beloved daughter, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, got married, at night he went to give them advice. And then in there he explained, "Oh Fatima, your work is in the house. Housework, everything, that's your duty. Outside work, to earn and bring things for the house, to buy things, but bring things in the house, that's Hazrat Ali, the husband's role. So you do the outside work, and she does the housework. So if that carries on, now if both do housework, and nobody is earning, then how is that house going to run? Or both earning, wife also earning, she's also going for business. Now, then who's going to look after the house? Who's going to look after the children? We say we get a maid, she'll look after the house, she'll look after the children. Perhaps the house she can look, but the children, nobody can look after them but the mother. What the maid will do is a job, with her hands and that. What the mother will do is a job with her heart. My children. And she'll have feeling. It's not very long ago that here in Fordsburg, Joburg, also all working, so they handed the children to the nanny. Nanny had AIDS, and she breastfed the child. Small baby got AIDS. So that's not the work of the nanny. It's the mother's work. It's not to put the children in a crèche, in a nursery school. It's not in a daycare center. It is for the mother there. And nobody has the love and care and concern of the child as the mother has. Even more than the father. The mother, Allah made it. The child grew up in the mother. 9 months it was in the inside of the mother. And then it came out. So how lot feeling the mother will have, the father also can't have so much feeling. And nobody can. And a maid and a nanny is out of the question. Crèche and day school, this is all zulam. Open zulam. We think we are smart and our children going daycare center and this. But it is zulam upon zulam. Zulamatum ba'duha fawqa ba'd. So the both got walahunna mithlu alladhi alayhinna bil ma'ruf. So the wheels are both on the right side, everything going. But if there's no driver, how is that car going to go? Walirrijali alayhinna daraja. Allah made the man the driver of that car. He is the amir. He is in charge. So that is also important. And an amir is not an amir. Amir is not an amir. Amir, one who gives commands. Do this, do that. Amir, like haseen, beautiful. A person who is haseen is not a person who makes himself look beautiful. He is beautiful. So amir has got that quality in him all the time. And who is the amir? Sayyidul Qawm, Khadimuhum. The leader of the people is the one who serves the people. So that husband who will serve the family, earn for them, look and serve them, make their tarbiyat, guide them towards deen, fulfilling the commands of Allah, making akhirat our object, that is the real person who is an amir. So a husband must never be an amir to command, do this. If we are such, all of us who are married here, we think, we ask our wives to do, to bring this for me, do that. Did we ever say please to her? So if we're not saying please, we are like an amir, like a big boss, like a dictator we are. And if we are to serve them, we'll say, please do this for me. And how would, she's going to do it in any case, but how happily she'll do it. that my husband is asking me so nicely. Even if it's awkward for her to do it, she's in a sleep, just falling asleep. You say, just won't bring me a glass of water, please. She'll even get up. Then my husband is asking me so nicely. So that, and who of us ever says thank you to our wife? Jazakallah. She feeds us, she cooks for us. What and what work she doesn't do. And most of that work is not really Islamically her duty. It's her favor she's doing for us. But whole life perhaps, we didn't say one time Jazakallah. And even after hearing this, our pride won't allow us to go and say, we won't go home and tell her Jazakallah, that you have done this for me, you do this for me. We'll think that now if I tell her, she'll sit on my head. She'll become my boss, so rather I don't speak about it. No, we must say, do things in the right way and forget she becoming the boss. She will be the queen of your heart. And then what enjoyment you will get in your life. If you have a queen as your wife, and your wife is your queen, but we're not giving her the status of a queen. Allah made her the queen, but we're not giving her that status. In the other ayat, Allah tabaraka ta'ala says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and treat them, how? بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, two meanings are given. One is, treat them according to the laws of Allah. And the laws of Allah have been practically shown to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated his wife, treat them like that. Which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best amongst you is the one who is the best to his wives. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I am the best to my wives. So we have to see how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated his wives. And we have to take lesson from there, how we should treat our wives also. So that is what we have to see. And other ma'aruf, urf, according to society. What is understood in society, what is the right of the wife, you must give her a house. Shariat also has fixed it. What kind of a house, make her stay comfortably, all what is in urf. If you do that, what is in urf, which is according to shariat, you will find very comfortably, your wife will be very happy with you. But if you impose on her, like for example, today it has become common, before we never knew of this, that today people are marrying, not different person is marrying a Moroccan, is marrying an Algerian, is marrying all different, today intermarriage has become so common with us. So in our culture is something else. In a Moroccan culture is something else. In an Indonesian culture is something else. So it's not so easy to understand them. But if it's your own culture, it's very easy. If, for example, a Gujarati marries a Gujarati, a Mehman marries a Mehman, then it is quite easy. You understand one another. You're coming from the same background. So it's very easy to understand. But when the backgrounds are different, it isn't so easy. So to understand that urf at that time is not so easy. It is possible. It can be done and it must be done. So anyway, with regard to that, ulama have said, Allama Alusi Rahmatullah Ali said, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ فِيهِ تَعْلِيمُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى النِّسَاءِ. The first is the teaching. Allah is saying, treat them good is show ihsan to them. What is ihsan? Kindness. But what is this kindness? There are three stages. One is you make zulam on somebody. That we all know is haram totally. Don't make zulam on anyone. The second stage, middle stage, adl, fairness and justly. You treat them in a fair way with justice. You how you treat me, I will treat you like that. And ihsan is in a most superior, even if you treat me bad, I won't treat you bad. If you throw stones at me, I will throw roses at you. If you throw thorns at me, I will throw flowers at you. That is what is called ihsan. And that is what is called akhlaq, character. Not that if your wife shouts at you, you shout more louder. And if she tells you something, you fight back more. No. You show your best akhlaq at all times. You can imagine, anyone who does that, that wife, no matter how bad her akhlaq can be, In a week's time, in a month's time, she's going to, my husband is so soft, so kind. What I'm telling him, he doesn't fight back. He doesn't tell, I tell him, your mother is like that, your father is like that. He doesn't tell me anything. You'll win her heart for life, you'll win her heart. The first, ta'alimul ihsan ila nis, wa rifq bihinna. And in here, Allah's command, show softness to them. Rifq. That be very soft and kind. Many of us, we feel, I'm the man, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. I'm the boss, you must hear what I will rule with the iron first. That is not at all the teachings of Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, not the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yes, be firm, but don't be harsh. Be firm, don't be rude. To get your things done the right way, but there's a way to do the right thing in the right way. Don't do the right thing in the wrong way. And don't do the wrong thing in any way. Do the right thing in the right way. So get her and you will mold her. And she will be yours. Usually, son-in-law, mother-in-law, they have fight because mother-in-law feels my son-in-law is troubling my daughter too much. But if you wean her over, she will tell her mother, no, no, it's not like that. He is very good. She will be your lawyer. She will fight your case. وَالرِّفْقُ بِهِنَّ. And third, وَالصَّبْرْ عَلَىٰ أَعْوَاجِهِنْ. Make sabr on the crookedness. Women are crooked. In the hadith, they are born from the crooked rib. So they are going, you supplied the raw material from the raw, from the rib, which was the highest rib, which is the most crooked. She was made from that. So if the raw material was crooked, she's going to be crooked. Now don't blame her. We supplied the raw material which is crooked. So she is going to be crooked. She'll do everything all crooked. Make sabr on that. And on that great reward for you. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً. We made all of you a test, one for the other. Husband is a test for his wife. How is he going to treat her? And the wife is a test for the husband. We are all, the boss is a test for his workers. Workers are a boss for their boss. All of us are test. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ. In all this matter, the thing to pass is sabr. Will you make sabr? Your husband is not treating you well. Will you make sabr? My wife is not doing what I'm telling her. Will you make sabr? وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بَصِيرًا. And Allah is watching all the time. How you are treating one another. Whether you're passing in your test, you are failing. Allah give us tawfiq. Give muhabbat in all our marriages, in this marriage also. Allah let us fulfill one another's rights and see the great beauty of Islam in marriage. If we live how we're supposed to be, the world will accept Islam just because they say that the Muslim men, how they treat their wives. Because the Muslim wife, how she treats her husband. It wasn't long in India, Hindu women just wanted to marry Muslim men. And just for one reason, Hindus drink too much liquor. And when you're a drunk person, nobody wants you anywhere near you. So, and Muslim men generally don't drink liquor. So they if you have a glass of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the whole world's woman will want to marry you. And all will be keen to be your wife. But if we come right, now it is such, your own wife also wants to run away. She also don't want to stay. We come right and see how everything comes. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah.